Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
But it's not the millennial with the mic you thought you were getting. I am Aaron Chadbourn filling in for Grace. She is the millennial with the mic. I'm just a millennial with a mic. Borrowing Grace's mic this week while she's been on spring break. She'll be back here on Monday on the Grace Curley Show. Until then, I am keeping the seat warm, the microphone on, and we're covering all of the top stories. I want to get back to talking about the themes that are going to really influence this election, because I think when you hear the advice from the talking class that they have to go after like Nikki Haley's voters or worry about Chris Christie, what the American people are looking at, they're looking at the cost of groceries, the cost of food, the cost of gas. They're looking at the border. They're looking at what's actually happening. And we've been told for years and years that there is no crisis at the border. Well, now Biden and KJP and others are completely like pretending that never happened. They're trying to send it into the memory hole and say there was never a time we didn't say it was a crisis. It's Republicans who refused to work on it. We were also told like, oh, well, it only affects those border states. And I think Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, has done a very effective job reminding those sanctuary cities and sanctuary states that we're all border states, that we border another country and that it affects all of us. We've been seeing this play out in cities across the United States as Texas has shared the migrant population with the rest of the country. But they're also told like, oh, you have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. It's not affecting your communities. Crime isn't up. Crime's not on the rise. This is all fake news. This is all in the media. Well, there was Bill Malugin, I thought, did a great interview with Boston ICE agents that brought this really to bear of how it's happening right here in our own backyard in Boston. Go ahead, clip 8.
It's the pre-dawn hours in Boston.
It has a real violent history.
And this elite team of ICE deportation officers is briefing on their target list for the day. Illegal aliens charged with egregious crimes.
All the targets today, every single one of them, is an aggravated felony here in the Commonwealth. So these are really the cases that are the worst of the worst here in Massachusetts.
ICE quickly takes down its first target, an illegal alien from Guatemala, charged with aggravated child rape.
Carlos Diaz.
Minutes later, ICE arrests a Colombian national, charged with the rape of a child above age 14.
I don't have enough officers or resources to tackle every one of these public safety threats. Are we going after the child rapist today, or are we going to go after that 2 times deported fentanyl dealer? Because we can't get both.
ICE's next arrest, a combative MS-13 gang member from El Salvador, charged with a slew of violent crimes. Officers then arrested this Brazilian man, charged with 5 counts of aggravated rape of a child.
How are you guys not notified about a child rapist being released?
Unfortunately, in Massachusetts, that's how it is with most of these sanctuary jurisdictions.
A short time later, ICE took down their final target, a Brazilian gang member, also charged with child rape.
Just this morning today, 4 accused child rapists and 1 MS-13 gang member. Those are the kind of people you're going after.
That's every day up here in Boston. If those are the public safety threats that we really want to get off the street. It was a great day for the teams. That's 5 public safety threats that are on in the community. Gonna go ahead and victimize anyone else.
That's every day up here in Boston. And those are the kinds of public safety threats we want to get out on the streets. The fact that we've had this culture perpetuated by Joe Biden, by Maura Healey, by the various George Soros-funded prosecutors that say, we're not going to cooperate with immigration authorities even when violent MS-13 members and child rapists are here illegally. We're going to keep them in our country. That's what is at stake. And that's why there is this choice. So people that, you know, don't like Trump or don't like what he said or don't like what he did, they'll often say, but the other choice is also reprehensible, because that's what leads to this sort of thing. And when you listen to these law enforcement agents, they're not just doing it for sport. They're not doing it for fun. They're doing it to keep the public safe, which is what I think most normal law-abiding citizens want to see. They want law and order. They want safety. They don't think that all migrants are dangerous. Not all immigrants are dangerous. There are many that are talented and skilled and not a threat. They're safe. There are people that be happy to have work with you or live near you. But you can't, in the interest of being politically correct and in following this orthodoxy, you can't turn a blind eye against enforcement of the rule of law. Like, what does it say? I mean, if you try to migrate into Canada, they won't let anyone in. They won't let you there. Even if you're a law-abiding citizen, if you have they have very strict laws. I think if you have a parking ticket, they're going to say no, that you can't enter Canada. But meanwhile, in the United States, not only do you let these people in, but when they're caught in the legal system for committing violent crimes, it's more important to the jurisdictions like Boston and Massachusetts, to Joe Biden and Maura Healey, to respect these people's privacy rather than keep the public safe. And that's where you get situations like what we saw in Chicago, where the members of the parole board are resigning because they let out a repeat offender who had been a week before his ex-girlfriend had filed for a protective order. He gets out, he comes and attacks her, ends up killing her son within a day of being released. This is what we're seeing in terms of the policies that are being enacted across the country in these sanctuary cities and through the Biden administration and their preferred policies. And I think these are the things that are going to turn people back, who want common sense, who want rule of law, who want to put the rights of American citizens to be safe and to be healthy and to be happy. That's what they want to put first. 844-500-4242, the number here on the Grace Curley Show. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to, good caller from Maine. We'll talk to Mike. Mike, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show.
Aaron, you're doing a great job.
Appreciate it, Mike. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, listen, I wanted to remind everybody out there today. Today is National Vietnam Veterans Day. So if you run into a Vietnam vet today, say thank you and welcome home. And if you want to do anything to help out the Vietnam veterans, what you want to do is donate to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. This is the fund that keeps the wall open down in D.C. Since we built the wall and christened it in 82, we've never accepted a dime from the federal government. This is all done through donations. The only thing they gave us was the piece of land that the memorial is on. So anybody that wants to help out the Vietnam vets, just go to Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. It's a huge page. It'll tell you how you can donate and what else you can do to help. We're always looking for volunteers. We now have a museum down there, too. So they had left over 400,000 artifacts at the wall in the first 3 years. So we had to set up a museum for all the artifacts. Yeah. And I think you'd be highly impressed when you go to the museum.
I haven't been to the museum. So that's a good thing. And thanks for the call. Thanks for the reminder, too, Mike. I know you do a lot to support our veterans community, and it's good for people to know. And for Vietnam vets, when they came home, you know, the way that they were treated, many of them drafted, went in not of their own, but out of a sense of patriotism into this country, the way they were treated when they came home was awful. And there's a lot in common, by the way, to some of the people that served in the more recent conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. They went for one reason, and then they felt the government and the public turned their back on them. So, you know, it is really important. A lot of people that did serve in Vietnam aren't comfortable talking about it. When I worked for Governor LePage and was part of overseeing our Bureau of Veterans Affairs, Bureau of Veterans Services here in Maine, you hear all the stories, and a lot of these veterans don't want to talk about it because of the experience they had and how, you know, they were really treated very poorly. So for anyone listening who did serve in Vietnam, thank you for your service. We're sorry what happened to you when you came home. welcome home. Certainly great reminder. And I think that's great that they're continuing to raise money privately for the memorial that's down there in the museum. I would love to see it. So maybe next time I'm down in D.C. And it's very moving. The way that it's cut into the hill right there, the Vietnam Memorial, all of the memorials there are very moving. And I've really loved the honor flights, too, that have allowed the World War II veterans to go and see the memorial to their service and to their fallen friends and comrades in battle. All right. We've got a lot more to get to. Before we do that, though, Jared, are you traveling for Easter? I didn't ask. Are you staying local? Or are you traveling?
I'm staying local this Easter. So I don't usually travel anyway. But just going over to the extended family. They have a brunch every year.
Oh, that's right. Your family does this big meal.
We are Italiano.
The $180 per head cost that we heard about in Spokane, Washington?
I don't know if it was per head, but we have definitely spent at least $180 on ricotta cheese.
Well, weekend. No matter how much you're spending on your Easter dinner, you can always appreciate a good deal, especially when you do want to get away and you do want to travel. So I want to remind people about the deal that's going on at the Nassau Beach Inn.
Yeah, right now, you can book your April stay at the Nassau Beach Inn from $249.99 a night. And in May, the rates are from $259.99 a night. And if you heard yesterday when Dave Henchy was on with us and we did our Grace's Goodies for the Nassau Beach Inn, rooms are going fast and they are going to fill up even faster. So get on this now. Go to NassauBeachInn.com to reserve your Ocean View room. And every room at the Nassau Beach Inn is an Ocean View room. They all have a gigantic picture window so you can look out at the Atlantic Ocean. There's a fireplace. You can stay cozy, enjoy the ambiance. The sun's finally out for the first time in, I think, forever. So this would be a great type of day to be down there to walk along the beach. It's pet friendly. You can bring your dog down. There's hiking trails. They have fire pits you can sit out by. You can enjoy the sunrise. You can look at the stars, the moonrise. All of it is fantastic. It's the perfect ambiance. It's the perfect way to experience the Cape. And right now, you can book that April stay at the Nassau Beach Inn from $249.99 a night and in May from $259.99 a night. Go to NassauBeachInn.com. That's NassauBeachInn.com to reserve your room now.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
We are back on the Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace. Grace has been off on spring break. Now it's Easter weekend, so wishing a happy Easter to Grace and to all of our listeners, of course, who celebrate. You know, Jared, growing up, my family, my mom is Greek. My dad was Protestant, so we had the kind of two different, you know, both Christian, but both different. There's the Orthodox calendar, and then you had the regular American calendar. So we had American Easter, which usually some days they fell on the same date, but oftentimes they fell later. So for instance, this year, Easter is this weekend. So it's going to be on the 31st of March, which I think is a little bit late. But Greek Easter, Orthodox Easter this year isn't until May 5th, which is pretty far away.
Wow, that's a big gap. It's not usually
it is
like
a big
that.
Gap. But it also means that if you've never attended services, because I think the services are way more ornate and intricate and meaningful, and there's still a lot of the liturgy that's done. You can go to Orthodox Week is a great week whether you're observant or not. You can go. So it will give you that first week of May. You know, Holy Thursday service is one of my favorites. Our family belongs to the St. Demetrius Church in Saco, Maine, which you can go to. But I think after the Greek festival, which most Greek churches have an annual Greek festival where you have the food and you appreciate the culture and all of that, I think Easter week and the services of Easter week are the best. So for the Orthodox Church, that's not until end of April, beginning of May. Palm Sunday for Orthodox is April 28th. And then Easter on May 5th, all the way to May 5th. Maybe I'll go to Greece for it this year. That'd be fun. But the American Easter is this weekend. And we used to have two Easter baskets. That was the thing on American Easter and Greek Easter, which when they fell on the same day as a kid, you got to have so much candy because the Greek Easter bunny and the American Easter bunny did not shop in the same store. I know that has nothing to do with the church and the Christian holiday, whatever, but it's Easter and everyone likes Easter candy. It's a thing that sets this holiday apart. Valentine's Day is a little bit about the candy, but Easter has the great candies. And so That brings us to today's poll question. Today's poll question brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Back in stock now, our friends at Eden Pure have brought back the very popular BOGO offer. That's buy one, get one. You can order now at EdenPureDeals.com. Use code GRACEBOGO. These are going to go fast, so don't miss out. Use the code now, GRACEBOGO, at EdenPureDeals.com. All right, Jared, in the spirit of Easter candy, what is today's poll question and what are the responses thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is what's your favorite Easter candy? Peeps, Cadbury cream eggs, jelly beans, robin eggs, hollow chocolate bunny, or solid chocolate bunny?
You know, just because I've already kind of got the first place answer before in the last segment, I'm going to switch it up this time. And I'm going to say the Cadbury cream egg, because that is one that you can really only enjoy at Easter. Now, I will say, I believe when I was a kid, they were bigger and they've gotten smaller over time. Cadbury denies this, but I think it's true. But I'm going to go with the Cadbury cream egg.
The Cadbury cream eggs are in third place right now at 16%. And I think you're right. I think BJ Novak, who played Ryan on The Office, actually did an in-depth dive into that. And the Cadbury cream egg has, in fact, gotten smaller. Solid chocolate bunny in the lead at 32%. Second place for jelly beans at 21%, 14% for the peeps, 11% for the robin eggs, and 6% for the hollow chocolate bunny.
That's a pretty low score for the peeps. The peeps, I want to say, is kind of like the Rodney Dangerfield of Easter candy, right? Can't get no respect. But here, earlier when we were talking about the Easter candy, we were talking about how like Reese's or M&M's or those disgusting Whopper robin eggs that only Jared Diglio likes. Those are like normal candies that then masquerade as an Easter candy. Have you noticed that peeps go the opposite way? That peeps will go from being an Easter candy. And that used to be all what they were. But if you're peeps and you're the peeps brand, you're like, well, how can I grow my revenue? We've got to make peeps like acceptable for other times of the year. And I get it. Like as someone who's like pro capitalism and business strategy and business growth, I get it. But like at Christmas, does anyone really want like a peeps stocking or like a peeps peppermint like chick? Or like Peeps gingerbread man. Like, no.
When they get into the flavoring of the Peeps, that's where it gets weird. Like, the original Peeps flavoring is good, but when they try to get all fancy and they do, like, mint Peeps or orange Peeps, it just gets weird.
There's a, I'm on their website right now, there's a Rice Krispie Treat flavored Peep. Like, what? I get that, like, there's marshmallow in Rice Krispie Treats, so I get where you were going on that, but, I mean, here's, like, I see, this, so if I go to their website, it says all products. And then you have like sour strawberry peep, blue raspberry peep. Like, no, thank you. Also, Dr. Pepper flavored peeps. Like, what? It's this cross branding. Like, I get it. Like, they got to do something. But then I see there's the Christmas banner, the Christmas peep, the Easter peep, the Halloween peep. Halloween's the only one I'm going to give you a freebie on because, all right, you're a brand of candy. Like, go ahead and give yourself like a Halloween edition because there's always going to be the house that mix it up and give something weird. When we were kids, people would give out the raisins, right? Or the pencils.
Or the popcorn balls.
Popcorn balls. I mean, people were trying, though. But all right, give out ghost peeps. Okay, fine. That's a marshmallow. And it's better than some of the, like, off-brand marshmallow candy that people could be giving out. So I'll give you a pass on Halloween. So to the Peeps Company, the Peeps Corporation, I give you a pass on Halloween, but stay in your lane. I really think that you just really need to stay in your lane for Easter. Don't try to be more than what you are. Take your once a year blockbuster strategy. I don't need the sour strawberry peep. I don't need the icy blue raspberry. Like, no, you're not an icy. You're not a frozen drink. You're a marshmallow chick. Stay in your lane. Although, did you ever do the thing when you were a kid where you'd put the peep in the microwave and it would like blow up? I'm not saying that I did it. I'm certainly not recommending that people try putting a peep in the microwave. That's certainly not my recommendation here on the Grace Curley Show.
Yeah, bad move.
I'm telling you not to do it. Do not do it. Don't do it. If you try to call our lawyers here at the Howie Carr Radio Network and say that I told you to do it, do not do it. Keep the peeps out of the microwave, but maybe go on YouTube and look for other videos. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace Curley at the Grace Curley Show. A lot more show when we come back here on Grace Curley Show on the Howie Carr Radio Network.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Grace is still on spring break for one more day. She'll be back on Monday. Until then, I'm Aaron Chadbourne here in Maine, filling in for the talented Grace Curley. Thanks to Jared and the team for making it look so easy, but it's a lot of work, and I really appreciate the opportunity to sit in and do this. Speaking of Maine and my folks here in Maine, I do host Inside Maine on WGAN, and I used to work for Governor Paula Page. There was some news in the Maine 2nd Congressional District race that came out this week, which was Donald Trump has waded in, and he's endorsed. There were originally three, and now it's down to two Republicans running for that nomination. Now, we don't talk a lot about congressional races in Maine because usually they're, or in New England in general, because usually they're not competitive. Occasionally you'll get a race like Caroline Leavitt when she was running in New Hampshire, or the Jared Golden seat. You know, it used to be held by a Republican, Bruce Poliquin. It's one of those seats where there are a lot of registered Republicans, more Republicans than Democrats. There are independents who lean conservative. Trump has won that district both of the last two elections. So it's one of these weird districts where a Democrat won a Trump-leaning district. And so it's always, you know, one of these districts you think should come up. Now, Jared Golden, he worked for Susan Collins when he was growing up in politics. And so he kind of understands kind of what Susan Collins has been able to do, which is she's a Republican. She's positioned herself as a centrist Republican that will work with Democrats. Jared Golden's kind of done the same thing in reverse, where he's positioned himself, and I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm just saying this is how he's gone about it. He says, I'm a centrist Democrat. I'm not on the far left. He will decry the squad, but he'll work with Republicans. He never voted for Nancy Pelosi, for instance, for Speaker, but he threw away his vote when it didn't matter. But he voted to oust Kevin McCarthy. He was very happy to do that. He also did. He was on the first impeachment. He was the only person in the House. I think Mitt Romney did it in the Senate, that voted against one of the articles of impeachment, but then for the other one. So Jared Golden is this. He wants to kind of have it both ways. He's a Democrat when it's convenient, but he's not quite progressive enough. But then when he needs progressive credentials, he did what he did after the Lewiston shooting, which is a horrible, horrible tragedy in Jared's hometown of Lewiston. He came out and said he wanted to ban assault weapons, which got him points on the left, got him ire on the right. So it's a very interesting place to be politically, because right now, with people as polarized as they are, there's not as much of a center. And that's kind of where he seems to be courting. And he seems to know that, you know, it's really a district that many people are Republican voters and do support Donald Trump. So Donald Trump comes out and endorses Austin Terrio, who is, I think, the favorite to win the primary anyway, even without the Trump endorsement, because he's a former NASCAR driver, currently serving in the Maine legislature. He's raised a ton of money, which is not everything in a race, by the way, but he's shown that he can do it. And you're going to have a lot of money, because Jared Golden, as an incumbent on a seat that Democrats target. Oh, texter 617 says the Democrat won the seat because of ranked choice voting. And that's right. The first time that Jared Golden ran, he actually came in second. He came in second, but because Maine adopted ranked choice voting, when they added the runoff votes of the second place, he was able to oust Bruce Poliquin. And so Bruce didn't get 50% of the vote. He got 48 or something. And then Jared won through ranked choice voting. And so, yeah, that was the first way that they were able to rewrite the rules of the game to engineer a Democrat outcome. So Austin Terrio, you have this former NASCAR driver, and he's running against Mike Sobolewski, also in the state legislature, also a Republican. And Mike Sobolewski, he's a former Marine. He's got a career in television, I think. I think he was a stuntman on like Law and Order and some other things. Mike Sobolewski has come out as more of kind of a favorite for kind of the, what I refer to as like the Republican base. He's more popular with the base. He's kind of been more, when he goes to the Republican caucuses, the people at the caucuses have liked him more. He's won a bunch of straw polls, which I don't think are that telling in terms of what's going to happen at the polls, because you need, even in a congressional district, and one as wide and spread out as Maine's 2nd congressional district, and I managed a campaign for a congressional candidate there who wanted to face Jared Golden once we lost the primary. it's hard to go meet everyone and do all of that. You need money to either get on TV, to get your name out there, to have people hear your image. And Mike Sobolewski seemed to be getting more traction with the grassroots and the activists, where Austin Terrio has more money and more, I think, more viability as a candidate because he's been getting the national support. He has the support of Speaker Mike Johnson, of Tom Emmer, of the NRCC. So you can see it's kind of going, and now he has the Trump endorsement. And the knock had kind of been that Sobolewski was kind of the more conservative, the Trump like candidate and the one. And so I think it's a big blow to Sobolewski staying in the race that Trump has endorsed Austin Terrio. And I think that kind of does put kind of a fine point on it. But here's the thing about Jared Golden. I have to give Jared Golden and his people credit, is they never waste an opportunity to try to score some points or really kind of, they're very smart in how they go about it. So Jared Golden, there's an article today in the Maine Wire, and it's taken from a quote in the Washington Examiner. And the headline says, Jared Golden trolls Austin Terrio, Trump's pick for Maine CD2. So the quote, this is funny, that Jared Golden gives to the Washington Examiner says, I'd rather face a neoliberal like Austin Terrio than another Marine like Mike Sobolewski, Golden told the Examiner. But it's funny that Trump would back someone who just a few years ago was talking about running as a Democrat instead of backing the guy who has supported Trump all along, Golden said. I guess the Washington establishment wants Terrio. Interesting. Interesting, because like neoliberalism, like calling him a neoliberal, it's something that advocates for a minimum role for the state, but also elevating individual liberty, economic freedom, but also tends to talk about some of those squishy Republicans that are, you know, like David Brooks and kind of in the middle that occupy that space. And so it's very interesting to me that Jared Golden is kind of trying to play into that trope of Austin Terrio being a squishy Republican. So there are a couple reasons he could be doing this, and I think it's very interesting. Number one, maybe Jared Golden wants to hurt Austin Terrio in the primary. Maybe he'd rather run against Mike Sobolewski. Or more likely, maybe he wants to keep Mike Sobolewski in the race and give him fuel so that with Austin Terrio and Mike Sobolewski fighting against each other, they use up a lot of that money in order to get and so he comes in damaged into the general election. That could be a reason why, too. It could be he's just trolling them for the sake of trolling them. It could be that he's trying to turn off Republican voters or conservative independents to Austin Terrio and trying to get them to come home to Golden in the future. He's kind of done well with kind of the Trump-style voter in the past. I think it's super interesting. I think it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, how it's used by the candidates. At the end of the day, I think it's probably better for Maine to rally around one or the other of these two candidates. And I think for Mike Sobolewski, not getting the Trump endorsement is probably a big emotional setback. But it's a I don't know how you move forward. But the Jared Golden clearly trying to goad him into staying in the race and to try to kind of bloody up Austin Terrio in it. This is going to be an interesting race to follow. I think it's going to be one. I know I'm from Maine, and so I care about Maine politics. But I mark my words, it's going to be an interesting race to watch. I do think that Austin Terrio as a candidate has something different. So where Mike Sobolewski is a little bit older, is kind of what you'd picture as a traditional candidate. Austin Terrio is younger. He's a former NASCAR driver. I think there's some image stuff to go there, but Jared Golden must smell some blood in the water if he's commenting on that. 844-500-4242 is the number here on the Grace Curley Show. You can also text in Curley to 617-213-1066. That we've been getting a lot of texts this morning, Jared, about Easter candy, which means that people are really resonating with our poll question. I'll read some of these texts when we come back and talk the poll question again in the 2 o'clock hour. I don't know. We should ask the team too, like what their favorite Easter candy. Emma Foley, of course, going to be on at 2 o'clock for Last Call with Emma Foley. We'll get her favorite Easter candy. What do you think Taylor's favorite Easter candy is? Is he going to be one of those people that's like, Easter's really about more than candy? How dare you? Or is he going to be like, you know, is he going to go for like the Robin eggs or the Whoppers?
I don't think he'd go for the Whoppers, but I think he definitely has a favorite Easter candy, I'm sure.
He's going to be like, oh, at my house, we make shortbread. That's how we celebrate Easter. Which in the Greek family, there are all these like Greek specific like cookies that you have for different things. So there's like a braided cookie you have at Easter, the koudoulakia. And so it's kind of like a shortbread. I don't know. I'll be interested. See if you can find Taylor and ask him what his favorite Easter candy is. Tell him he's welcome to come on and talk about it on air. Phone lines are lighting up, though. There are a few other topics people want to get to. Let's go ahead and talk to Jim. Jim, welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Hi there.
How's it going, Jim?
I'm going good. I live in Maine. My cousin Beecher Noah Washburn was a medevac helicopter pilot in Vietnam.
Excellent. Well, please thank your cousin for their service. I mean, there is in Maine in particular, there is a strong tradition of military service. Maine has some of the most veterans per capita of any state in the country, and so we appreciate each of their service. Anything else you want to say on that, Jim?
Yeah, just quickly. He's originally from Stowe, Massachusetts. He was a heavy smoker, and unfortunately, he passed away about 10 years ago.
Well, we're sorry for your loss, and thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling to remember him and share his memory with others. I think it's important. When I worked for Paula Page, Anne LePage, the First Lady of Maine, she was the best First Lady probably in Maine's history. She was a big advocate on veterans' rights, and what we'd always do is we'd say, you know, veterans really die twice. Once when they physically leave the earth, and the second time is when people speak their name for the last time. So we would, on Memorial Day, we would go and place wreaths from Wreaths Across America, the Worcester family in Washington County, Maine. We would place those man-made wreaths on the graves, and you'd read their names out loud and remember their service. And Jim, we certainly appreciate you sharing the story of your cousin here as well. Vietnam vets, especially, so many of them were mistreated when they came back. All right, let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll get more of your calls. 844-500-4242, the number here on the Grace Curley Show. And in the 2 o'clock hour, it's time for Last Call with Emma Foley. Emma, I hope you're getting those headlines ready, because there's a lot I'm sure we've missed this week. Can't wait to dive into them and your calls. 844-500-4242, the number on the Grace Curley Show. I'm in for Grace Curley. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, sitting in for Grace. Our text line is lighting up with lots of predictions and lots of thoughts on this poll question about Easter candy. And there's some speculation about Taylor Cormier's favorite Easter candy. One texter, 617, saying that Sinatra always loved a Tootsie Roll. Assume Taylor will lean in that direction. Sorry, texter, like, that doesn't count as an Easter candy. Like, this is one of, you're falling into the trap. You can't go with a candy masquerading as an Easter candy. But now, to settle the score for us, to let us in on the secret, the man himself, Taylor Cormier.
Listen, Sinatra had impeccable taste with many things. Candy was not one of them. Tootsie Rolls are garbage.
All right, so do you have, like, was Easter, having an Easter basket, a big tradition in the Cormier household?
I think it was done a few times. One of my Easter gifts was Star Wars, The Phantom Menace on VHS. So that was a while ago. I think that was one of my last Easter baskets that I received.
That was recently, though. You're really,
no, it wasn't.
Either you're dating yourself, or you're saying that you got, what year did that come out?
1999.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
I think 99. Anyway, but
it's so terrible. I forgot it. Well, I mean, I think that's interesting. I forgot too. I used to get the Easter themed Pez dispensers too. You'd have the Easter bunny like we would get those in our Easter basket. All right, but anyway, fans are dying to know, what is Taylor's favorite Easter candy?
I think the Reese's eggs. I really like those. Would you consider like a Rolo an Easter candy?
Do they do an Easter candy?
I don't know. I guess not.
I think they're just a standard year-round candy.
I think that's one of those things, like, if someone puts it in your Christmas stocking, does it make it a Christmas candy? Like, no. Like, if it's in your Easter basket, like, for you, it's Easter. But, I mean, so I think
a Reese's egg. Or a Cadbury egg, like an OG Cadbury. Not the stuff they have now, but from when I was a kid, they were a lot better then.
And they were bigger, too, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
The one place that Harvard-educated comedian BJ Novak and Howie Carr legend Taylor Cormier agree is that the Cadbury cream eggs used to be way better than they are now.
Yeah. Most things were better when I was a kid. I'm not buying that that's my imagination. I think things were generally much better, tastier, and of higher quality when we were younger.
It's shrinkflation, Jack. You've seen the Snickers bars lately.
Now, as a parent yourself, and you both have kids, right?
Yeah.
So as parents yourselves, like, do you carry on those traditions with your kids? Like, are you steering them to or away from Easter candy?
My wife has prepared Easter baskets. I'm not sure if they contain candy.
My boy's too young at this point, but next Easter, there'll probably be a basket. My mom did get him a little Easter basket with the eggs, and they had little, like, construction vehicles in them.
Oh, yeah, but, for Easter, I got my niece. I got her the, there are some eggs that, like, come apart, like, those plastic eggs that come apart, and, like, they fit together, and there are things in them. Like, that's fun. Or they're, like, maraca, like, kind of eggs. Like, that's what I've done on Easter in the past. I need to do something.
Jelly beans can die. I don't want jelly beans.
The worst is those generic ones, like the generic jelly beans where like every single one tastes like kind of the same flavor.
Slightly licorice-like, yeah.
And like if they can only exist within like 2 degrees temperature, otherwise they like melt or they become super hard. Like those are the grossest.
Always fun in the summertime when you're mowing the lawn and you find the egg that nobody found.
I used to, when I was in grad school, I was an RA for college freshmen, and I would do an Easter egg hunt, and they loved it every year. You'd hide the eggs, and it didn't matter what you put in them. But I'll tell you, the things, I think you're right, Taylor, that jelly beans are kind of the candy corn of Easter.
Yeah, it's just like, we have all these leftover ingredients, what can we make?
And we got a bunch of sugar and some extra dye. Like, let's like throw it together.
And I feel like a lot of Easter candy is just leftover Valentine's Day candy. The Pez, the chalk, all of it. It's a lot of just, well, we couldn't move this stuff for Valentine's Day, so let's just kind of rebrand it for Easter.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day really missed out because like there's not really a good St. Patrick's Day candy. You get the gold coins, which is kind of like ripping off like the Jewish holidays with the gelt and whatever. But I think you're right. I think they're just repurposing Valentine's Day candy. But after Halloween, isn't Easter the best candy holiday? Like, is there another one?
I don't know.
I think it surpasses. I would take Easter over Valentine's Day for the candy, for sure. We don't really talk a lot about, like, what do you got for Valentine's Day? You got the conversation hearts. Like, that's the box of chocolates, like, which, you know, have just gotten also worse and worse over the time. That's something that I do think was better when we were kids, is, like, the chocolates that used to come in, like, a Whitman sampler or in that heart box used to be good. And now they're, like, trash.
Yeah, the wax content has gone up considerably since I was a kid. I remember the taste of chocolate from when I was a kid, and I don't taste that. Even in Hershey's, I don't think is the same as when I was a kid.
That's why you got to go to your local store where they actually do the handmade chocolate, which is right. A little bit more expensive, but you know you're getting the real thing. It's not all wax. It's not. And I think Jared and I were saying this earlier. You were saying you like the Reese's eggs for Easter. I think it's because the wax content is less because they don't have to last on the shelf as long.
Possibly. And I think they have more filling than the Reese's peanut butter cups, too. That's a plus.
Well, thank you, Taylor Cormier, for putting to rest this big thing. Speaking of Tootsie Rose Kahlua and orange juice to chase just like one, okay, 617, a little early to start drinking here this Easter holiday. When we come back, it is time for Last Call with Emma Foley. We continue filling in for Grace this week where she's on spring break. I am Aaron Chadbourne, joined by Taylor Cormier and soon to be joined by Emma Foley. Don't touch that dial. Stay right here on The Grace Curley Show, and we'll bring you Last Call with Emma Foley coming right up.